Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
This is the main event.
This is your main event, Mark's Podcast, brought to you by Belly Up Unhinged Radio Network Sports. I'm your first host, lifelong wrestling fan, former radio guy, and cat dad. I'm Troy. And with me, as always, is the main event collector, figure hunting warrior, and he is the WWE walking wrestling encyclopedia. He's the Christopher Daniels to my Kazarian. It's Greg. What's up, Greg?
I'll take it.
You're the man who never ages. It's all them apple teenies he drinks. I'm telling you, he just bathes in it.
I don't drink, but if I did, I know I wouldn't touch those.
Yeah, you're going to get sick off of sugar before you get drunk off of those, I'll tell you. Ugh. Well, I was going to say, both men in that team never age. So, you know, whatever, take your pick. We talk about that with Christopher Daniels. Maybe it's the fact that he's bald. Like, maybe if he had hair, it's like, all right.
Just help.
Yeah. Like, there's some benefits to being bald there. But all right, man, today we're touching on our second Slammiversary of the month. This one's more recent. It's from 2012. We just had 2022 happen.
Yeah, decades, you know, more recent.
Yeah. Well, more recent than 2007. And this
by much.
Well, this one is Slammiversary 10. The one we just had, Slammiversary 20. We don't normally touch on current product, but I know you watched Slammiversary 20, and I've heard a lot of good things about that one.
I loved it.
And yeah, it's been, by the time we're recording, it's been a couple weeks now since it aired. Main event we talked about was Eric Young and
Walking Weapon.
Yeah, I was about to say Walking Weapon. I can't think of his name.
Josh Alexander.
Yeah, Josh Alexander. I assume that one was a good main event.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, I see.
Briscoe's and Good Brothers was probably the best match, I think.
Oh yeah, and AMW's back. Well, spoilers, but AMW is they came out. I had no idea, by the way, that Chris Harris didn't drink, but that was funny. Where James Storm
probably
was like,
stopped.
Yeah, I like how he pulled out the water when everybody had beer, and James Storm was like, "Well, everybody needs a designated driver." But yeah, man, Impact is still going. It looks like it's been pretty fun for a while now. I've been keeping up with clips and stuff. But back during this time, I believe Braden Walker was already gone from WWE ECW and long gone. And
then there was hands on his hips.
Yeah, well, hey, man, I'm still waiting for his WWE Hall of Fame induction. Like, it's going to be a big one. He's going to lead the class. Maybe not. I don't know.
Good Lord.
But this was a fun Slammiversary. It was a fun Slammiversary. It really took me back because I was deep into TNA at this time. I think.
Both,
good Lord. You and I were both watching. You and I were both watching consistently at this point, and I kind of forgot some of the stuff that was going on here. So it was fun to look back at it, and we'll talk about it here in just a moment. But first, time out here real quick to let you know that the main event Marks is sponsored by Swift Lifestyles. They are clean energy drinks and focus enhancers, great tasting vitamins, and big brain nootropics that are made and shipped from the USA. Go to SwiftLifestyles.com and use our special promo code Main Event Marks, all one word, to get 15% off your order. It's Main Event Marks, all one word, to get 15% off your order at checkout. And now that we're done with that, we're going to take our first break of the podcast. When we come back, we're going to dive into the news and notes from June of 2012, 10 years ago, right after this.
Follow the Main Event Marks at facebook.com/MainEventMarksPod, on Twitter @MainEvent_Marks, and on Instagram @MainEvent_Marks and @MainEventCollector. Get ready to rumble! In your new Main Event Marks merchandise, we've got t-shirts, hoodies, masks, hats, stickers, pins, and much more on our Redbubble store. That's maineventmarks.redbubble.com. You can also pick up some awesome clothing items with the latest updated show graphics on our Bonfire store. That's bonfire.com/store/maineventmarks. Support your favorite retro wrestling podcast and pick up some cool swag on our Bonfire and Redbubble stores. That's maineventmarks.redbubble.com and bonfire.com/store/maineventmarks.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. My name is Thomas, and what's your name?
I'm Alan. Yeah. We're brothers.
That's right.
Mother, same mother and father.
Your room was...
We shared a room.
Shared a room.
Right. Shared a room.
Thought I knew your face.
Yeah, we go way back, mate. Yeah.
We should do a podcast then.
We do a podcast. We do a podcast.
What's it called?
The
Brocast.
Yeah, that was planned.
Yeah.
What do we do?
Well, we cover all different things in the world of pop culture. We're talking about comic books, we're talking professional wrestling, and we're talking about movies. Go back and watch classic retro wrestling events, the likes of WWE, WCW, and if you do like that, you can check us out on Apple iTunes, also on Podbean, Anchor, and on Podknife. Also check us out on Twitter, at The Brocast. That's B-R-O-K-A-S-T.
Hey, it's all right. Good on you.
Yeah. Instagram also at The Brocast Podcast.
Yeah, but we don't spell it with a C. You spell it with a K.
Sorry, mate.
Take it easy.
I've been here before. I'm not a stranger to the danger. You know it's right where I belong.
The Main Event Marks are available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube. Find all of our links on our link tree at linktr.ee/maineventmarks. And we're back.
We're back! Live, you're on Main Event Marks.
Yeah, right.
And, uncensored. What was it again? Uncut, uncensored.
Oh, the first God.
These were Raw.
Oh, right. I was thinking of the actual uncensored. I can't remember. They had a weird tagline for it.
I think they said it first before. That was a pay-per-view fight, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, theirs was uncooked.
Uncensored.
Uncut.
Uncut. Yeah, uncooked, yeah. Uncut, uncensored.
Yeah. And I know it had something about uncooked in there because, you know, it's raw. Like, ha-ha, I get it.
Oh, I didn't even realize that meant. Okay.
There you go. Because Bruce Pritchard was talking about it, and I'm like, mother of God.
Well, it makes sense. As stupid as it is.
It does make sense, yeah. Real quick, we want to let you know that the Main Event Marks is sponsored by Shocked Energy. Shocked Energy is a healthier alternative to traditional energy drinks that gives the energy that gamers need while in a long session without skimping on their health. Their products come in a powder form and you mix them into water. You can either choose from green apple or watermelon. You can also try both if you get their sample kit. Use our special link that is down in the podcast description, or you can simply go to shockedenergy.com at checkout. Use the promo code MAINEVENT, all one word, to save 10% on your order. That's promo code MAINEVENT, and you're going to save 10% at checkout. But anyway, we're diving into the news and notes here. First story. Randy Orton's future with WWE is uncertain following their announcement Wednesday that he was being suspended for 60 days for a second violation of the talent wellness program. Oh man, I hope
fine. Move on.
I hope Randy Orton's career makes it. 20 years later, he's out with what? Is he out with an injury again, or is he just taking time off?
It's a very bad back injury. His dad said it's a serious one.
Oh damn. Yeah, it's every couple of years he's out with a different injury, I think. But he's still
Hey, it propelled Riddle to the top of the mountain, man, so I'm all for it.
Yeah, I was gonna say Riddle looks like he's freaking tearing it up right now in some big ass programs. So
one of the hottest things in all wrestling, I would say.
Yeah, and he's found
he's
that
probably
good
gonna
balance.
Have a thing with Cena tonight. That's why we're recording on Cena's return night. So
well, it's cool that like on one hand he's still maintaining his, you know, the goofy bro, whatever, but on the other hand, he's getting more serious. And I like that.
A lot of people forget he is a legit badass too. So
yeah, right. Don't let the painted nails fool you and everything. And the painted nails, the long hair, and
hey, Chuck Liddell painted his toenails every fight. Okay, so oh, I dare you to say something.
Yeah, you see that flying at your face.
Right. There's another one, and I know you're going to mention. There's no way in hell you don't have this on the docket. There's no way.
We'll have to see. You'll have to point it out if I miss it here. But
every time we set up one of these recordings, I'm like, what's the biggest story this month that he's gonna mention? And I think I'm like batting 1,000 or close to with it. So not early mid 80s and stuff, I don't count that because I don't have an idea clue. So
right, yeah. Superluchas.net reports that SmackDown wrestler Randy Orton met with Chairman Vince McMahon, Executive Vice President of Talent and Live Events, Paul Levesque. Man, that's a mouthful.
That's not who I thought it was going to be. Okay.
Yeah, right. yeah, he thought it was going to be John Laurinaitis.
Little tricks for you. You better look at him dead.
We might not want to be making jokes about him oiling up any pecs anytime soon.
Hey, no guy is accusing me of anything, so that's fair game.
Yeah, right. And Executive Vice President of Television Production, Kevin Dunn, at the organization's headquarters in Stamford, Connecticut on Friday to discuss his future with the organization. Good Lord.
You couldn't see it, but I was doing the tooth thing.
Yeah, Bucky Beaver. I wonder if when Kevin Dunn answers the phone, he says, hey, what's up, Doc? But a WWE source.
I don't know why you think we're wrestling, because we have wrestlers and wrestling anyway, wrestling boots, wrestling tights. We're not wrestling.
Yeah, right. A WWE source described the meeting's atmosphere as hostile. It was determined that a future decision concerning Orton awaits. The report adds that there are several officials lobbying for his termination as a cost-cutting measure. They feel his lucrative 10-year contract signed in January of 2010 can no longer be justified if he's brought back in a mid-level role. His second suspension hinders WWE from continuing to feature Orton in headline roles, since a third drug testing policy infraction would result in automatic termination. McMahon is especially infuriated with Orton, who felt he had matured in the recent years. The 9-time world champion's back in 2012, he was a 9-time champion. The 9-time world champion's suspension reportedly stems from a positive drug test for the anabolic steroid Dianabol, which is banned by the United States Congress under its Controlled Substance Act. He also reportedly tested positive for marijuana, which is subject to a $2,500 fine.
Big deal.
Yeah, I don't even know if they bust them for that anymore. I mean, considering Riddle's on the roster and has never been suspended, I assume.
Not in California, you can't.
Yeah, right.
go to the damn corner store and get it here.
Yeah. It's kind of weird. And the thing is, I heard about this. They said that they call it the Orton rule now, where they specifically changed the rules after all this so that they didn't ever have to fire Orton if he tested positive again. And what it was, I guess they said the rule is like if you go for X amount of months or years without testing positive, they'll knock a strike off. So it's like, well, you did have two strikes, but you've been good for this amount of months. So now you're down to one strike again.
And somehow Jeff Hardy was still never escaping.
Well, yeah. Can you see him staying clean for that long? At least Orton can somewhat control himself. Hell, at the very least, you know, Orton needs to be stocking up on that stuff from GNC that cleans your system out.
Wow, GNC, you just lost one of our listeners. Thanks a lot. He knows who he is.
I just know I've never had to do it, thank God. But I've known people that there's something at GNC that you buy that you drink the whole bottle and it flushes your system out within 24 hours. So unless it's like something really hard, you'll piss clean. I don't understand
why I like staying clean, because I make a very lucrative thing off of selling my piss. I'm just kidding. I don't do that.
I like how you had to specify. I was like, I don't really do that. It's a joke.
I used to watch that show, George Lopez, and this little son one time was selling some pee to this, the daughter's boyfriend. He was doing steroids. But the way what George said, he goes, I'm going to ask you something I haven't asked anyone in like a decade. Is my mom buying your pee?
Good Lord. Hey, if anybody's in the market for some urine, you know, mine's as clean as the wind-driven snow. So, you know, just saying, side hustle. Anyway, it's been reported that former WWE and WCW star Bill Goldberg reached out to Brock Lesnar to discuss a potential angle between the two of them that would see Goldberg make his return to pro wrestling. One problem, however, is that Brock Lesnar only has two major dates left on his WWE deal, one with Triple H at SummerSlam and the other with his opponent at WrestleMania, who I believe was also Triple H.
Real quick, going back to the Orton thing real quick. Yeah, he really did get a little punch because he opened WrestleMania the next year.
Yeah, right.
Just not a, I'm not even trying to be funny. It's like, wow, top guy opening WrestleMania.
Orton's always up and down the card. Yeah, Orton's always, which I like when they do that with people like, I mean, yeah, there's some people that are going to be at the top of the card forever and ever. But I kind of like when they recycle them out. It's like, all right, you know, just work with some other people in the mid card or whatever. We'll bring you back up to the main event. He's umpteen time world champion. So it's like, whatever. Which is funny because his father, like, people know who his father is, like, you know, because he was like in the background of everything.
He carried Roddy's bag like nobody's business.
Yeah, right. But it's like nobody knows him. It's like, oh man, do you remember Bob Orton? Oh, he was so cool. Man, the crowd lost it.
I've heard he was one of the guys to meet.
Yeah. But yeah, the Brock Lesnar and Goldberg thing, man.
In four years, that will have a payoff, actually. So
yeah, they could just never make that work, could they?
a little delayed. It's going to pay off.
Yeah, right. This one, it's like, oh,
I remember that, God. By the way. One story. That night that happened, I got an pneumonia at the Niner Patriot game. Never forget that. Man.
Good Lord.
One of our listeners was there. I don't know if I ever asked him that, but yeah, I was at Levi Stadium when the Patriots came to town and it was pouring rain. I got an pneumonia. And it was that night. I had to watch it on delay.
The Patriots at least won, right?
Oh, they smashed them.
Yeah, I kind of figured. You're just driving at home, aren't you?
Hey, I had pneumonia, damn it. Let me have this.
Yeah, right.
It's not the sniffles.
Right, yeah. That's pretty bad. I forgot about this dude, by the way, but it's like, oh, yeah, this was a big thing in the rumor mill at the time. It was like, my God.
Rumor and innuendo.
I forgot all about it. Ken Doan, formerly Kenny Dykstra from Kenny from the Spirit Squad, has continued dishing.
Oh, man. I got to prepare myself for this one.
By the way, it took me a while because I'm not a big baseball guy. So I was like, oh, my gosh, he's named after Lenny Dykstra, the baseball legend. It's like, duh. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, well, it's like, who the hell came up with that? It was like, oh, Kenny. Oh, we'll call you Kenny Dykstra. Like, yeah, because, you know, that's a timely reference.
He is a legend, to be fair.
He is,
but, yeah.
Yeah,
he's not a timely one. I'll give you that.
Yeah. But anyway, he's continued dishing dirt via Twitter regarding John Cena and Mickey James' relationship years ago. You know, like a true adult. Doan, who was at
one point... Yeah, I thought this was going to be something good. Sorry.
At one point, he was engaged to James, and he says that he discovered she had been cheating on him with the C-Nation leader when he oversaw her online searching rumors concerning her act of infidelity. James then confessed her unfaithfulness to Doan in a dramatic episode. On Twitter, Doan wrote, quote, she was Googling Mickey James and John Cena dating. I asked why. She broke down crying. Then I heard more from others. She was checking to see if it was nice on if it was on the net yet. Doan recalls, quote, I feel bad for Magnus. Nice guy dating a ... Well, you know, end quote. Doan also says that Cena got him transferred to SmackDown while Cena and James stayed on Raw.
Well,
I don't know if John Cena would have given a damn if he was on Raw or SmackDown, unless he was causing crap backstage. I mean, then I could see, you know, it's like, hey, I don't really want to have anything to do with this guy.
So it's like high school BS.
I know. Like, really?
Also, I'm not saying it's okay, but just because someone does it once doesn't mean they're going to do it again. So
Yeah, right. And apparently it's worked out for Magnus all these years. So good for him, by the way.
He was on the show, by the way.
Yeah, right. Hey, here's a guy we were talking about earlier. John Laurinaitis no longer officially serves. He no longer officially serves as WWE's Executive Vice President of Talent Relations. His bio has been removed from the WWE corporate website's index of executive officers. Therefore, the former Dynamic Dude is solely an on-air performer for WWE.
There's a better one. You couldn't get a better one.
That was it. That's all there is. He was a Dynamic Dude, and he was a thing in Japan, I guess. And he had a horrible promo in...
And CM Punk accidentally made him a thing again.
Yeah, right. Well, what was... I can't remember. There was some minor federation that didn't stick around. XWF or some crap. I don't even remember. But he cut a promo where he was like, if you don't got it, get it. If you can't get it, figure it out. Like, what? Like, what does that even mean?
How many times has he had that job, lost it?
I know, right? And he's like the only person in the entire universe that apparently wants that job. Like Jim Ross, and like Jim Ross said, you know, he didn't mind doing it, and you know, it had its perks here and there, but he didn't say it was a great job. Freaking Bruce Pritchard said he absolutely hates that job. So it's like, is Laurinaitis the only one who cares for it?
He might not like it at all, but he does it because it's an ass kiss. Which, you know, yeah, going back in the archives, I think we agreed. Nothing wrong with that. Just, you know, yeah. Admit it, at least.
Kept him employed all these years.
Further proving the point.
Man, can you imagine, like, after Hell in a Cell, it's like, hey, Cody, I see you're having some problems. You know, I know a thing or two about oiling up pecs if you need my help.
Good Lord.
But anyway,
again, probably not far from the truth. I mean,
yeah, I know. However, he's still branded as the Executive Vice President of Talent Relations in his WWE.com Superstars profile on his Twitter account. Excuse me. So, okay. Well, yeah, because the title itself sounds hilarious. Executive Vice President of Talent Relations. It just makes you sound like a pompous ass.
Right. I will often wonder, by the way, okay, who's the president then?
Yeah, right? I don't know. But Laurinaitis has overseen the talent relations department since April of 2004 when he replaced Jim Ross. He was hired as a road agent after the Sports Entertainment Organization's acquisition of certain assets of World Championship Wrestling in March of 2001. And Bruce Pritchard actually talked about it, like, since Laurinaitis was backstage in WCW, they used him a lot to kind of make the transition more seamless. So that's probably why McMahon was like, well, maybe he can be an asset. You know, he helped with his big murder.
He's definitely an ass.
Good Lord. He puts the ass in asset. One half of the WWE.
I don't know. I'm just kidding. But I've never met the guy. He might be the nicest dude in the world. I don't know. I just go off of like all the stuff Pritchard says about him.
Hey, Nikki and Bree, I'm not trying to replace your dad. Okay. I'm just sleeping with your mom.
When you do it, it sounds like really worse. But
yeah, right. Look, I know I hired you both because you look super hot in a bikini, but I'm also dating your mom. Like, that's the creepiest part of it.
Good Lord.
That's the creepiest part of it. Anyway.
I'm going to go with the story you hired them to get to their mom because you already knew her. That's what I'm going with because it's less creepy and I can sleep at night.
Yeah, I'm not going with that because I'm going with the worst possible explanation possible because it's hilarious. One half of the WWE Tag Team Champions, R-Truth, suffered a sprained and broken foot during WWE's tour of Spain. PWInsider.com is confirming the report and notes that Brodus Clay replaced Truth at the Barcelona live event. No word on how severe the injury is as of now or if it will require Truth to miss any in-ring time.
I don't know if it does.
I don't recall him taking time off during this point, but he's always like in and out. So I don't know. Maybe. Meanwhile, Mark Henry's recent operation was not for a groin injury and rather a shoulder operation. Henry had hinted on Twitter that if things didn't go well, he intended to retire. The Wrestling Observer Newsletter reports that WWE. reports that WWE is still expecting Henry to return later this summer.
Yeah, he's going to have an amazing match at WrestleMania with Ryback, man.
Oh, yeah. Following reports that Kelly Kelly was accepting endorsements and appearance requests during her hiatus from WWE from the WWE ring, organization officials offered the Raw Diva a new contract with a pay raise. They don't want her to leave WWE since she's considered their most marketable female performer.
Yeah. Performer.
Yeah, well, I can't call her a wrestler because that would be an insult. She's always been horrible. It's like, you clearly didn't hire her for her in-ring ability. The fact is they called her Kelly Kelly, and I was like, okay, well, her real name is less ridiculous, right? Nope, Barbie blank. Like, good Lord. Anyway, I don't remember this one too much. Maybe you do. Carly Maxine Perez is about to quit the WWE. She has been mainly featured on NXT, but had made appearances on both Raw and SmackDown, including the Battle Royal on Raw this past week. The report stated that she was frustrated with a number of things, including not being offered a guaranteed deal.
I remember her. I remember her leaving.
Yeah, I barely remember Maxine. It's like, what did she do again?
Like, shut down, whatever.
Yeah, basically. Like, oh no, not her.
Whatever will we do?
Yeah,
she might go to TNA now and light it on fire.
Good Lord. Speaking of that, I heard, by the way, that...
I heard that you need to take the pills, by the way.
Good Lord. I saw on our YouTube, because I had posted us a clip of us talking about Sasha Banks walking out on WWE and whatever, and somebody tried telling me that, well, she's the John Cena of the women's division, so if they lose her, they're going to be in trouble.
No.
To my point, and my point to that was, like, in what way is she the John Cena of the women's division? She doesn't draw, like, I'm sure she draws. I'm not saying she's not a draw whatsoever. She doesn't draw John Cena numbers. She doesn't sell John Cena-style merchandise. And she's walked out before, and everything was perfectly fine. She walked out again. Nobody barely notices. So, how?
So she's bigger than Becky Lynch in this person's mind.
Yeah, Becky Lynch, okay, Charlotte Flair.
Got it.
Yeah.
Becky Charlotte Lynch, Flair, Charlotte by the Flair. Way, is better than a lot of men, but yes, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she's more popular than all of them. Alexa Bliss, even. Like, good Lord.
Usually like, gets popped at night nowadays when she comes out.
Yeah, people were like, she was, Alexa Bliss, while she was gone, was trending almost, you know, at least bi-daily. But Sasha Banks quit trending after, like, maybe a month. Like, nobody cares. She has a few weird fans that are, like, obsessed with her and won't let it go. Yeah, basically. But nobody else really cares that much. Speaking of only a handful of people caring, WWE has acquired the rights to the Watts Video Library. This includes videos of Mid-South Wrestling, Mid-South Power Pro Wrestling TV, and Universal Championship Wrestling. The library has been owned by Bill Watts' ex-wife as part of a divorce settlement and is now the largest video collection owned by WWE. Yeah, I'm sure that ex-wife was looking to offload that stuff. She's like, the hell am I going to do with it besides make money?
It's all for the upcoming network, by the way, right? Which is going to launch in a couple of years.
Was it a couple of years from 20? Yeah, that's right. Okay. That's right. I forgot. I don't get those timeline things, man.
Confused too.
I was like, Jim Cornette talked about that. He was like, nobody, like, there are so many lost tapes because people, like, back in the day, they were like, who cares? Like, what is this worth? Like, you know, tape over it, throw it out, whatever. But now it's like, man, if they would have only had half the foresight, it's like they could have been making some good money off of Vince McMahon at this point.
Yeah, go back to man-ass Tom McGee, man.
Yeah, right. He needed a payday. WrestlersRescue.org is spearheading a campaign to raise money for James Kamala Harris, who lost a leg due to complications from diabetes in late 2011 and has had his other leg amputated earlier this year out of necessity. The donations generated through this fund will assist to in covering Kamala's medical care, basic living costs, and a myriad of other expenses as he transitions into a more handicap accessible world.
Sad.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that. I was like, oh, man, that sucks. And it sucks that, you know, all these old wrestlers have to rely on, you know, the charity of others to help them with their medical bills.
I think that's the old thing. People think that wrestlers are like billionaires or something.
Yeah, it's like some of them are. But, you know, it's like for every Hulk Hogan, there's a million others that, you know, are scraping by and have no health insurance.
Very horrible.
Not everybody. Yeah, right. Not everybody can be a, you know, a John Cena or a Hulk Hogan or, you know, Steve Austin. Like, there are ones that it's like either they weren't smart with their money or they weren't making anywhere near the amount of money that everybody thought they would make. It's like, oh, they're on TV, therefore they're rich. Not necessarily. Hernandez confirmed shortly after this pay-per-view we're about to talk about that he indeed signed a new deal for another year. The deal was agreed to around the week of Slammiversary. Yeah, he stuck around for a while.
He came, he went.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, I think he took a hiatus for a little while, and then he came back with the Fu Manchu, where dressed like a cholo again.
He went and learned to hold.
Yeah, right. Meanwhile, there are reports going around that Chris Sabin will be following his tag team partner Alex Shelley and leaving TNA when his current deal expires. The unconfirmed
came reports... He came, he went.
Same old story. The unconfirmed report states that Sabin has told his friends that he is leaving when his deal expires this August. Sabin's girlfriend, Velvet Sky, that tells you how long ago this was, responded to the reports on Twitter, quote, "People, Chris Sabin is not, I repeat, not leaving TNA. I'm getting lots of these questions. Please stop believing everything you read," end quote.
Well, I don't believe he does.
Yeah, does he leave? Nah, not for a while. He still has to become world champion, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think he gets injured right before that, doesn't he? Or does he get injured as champion? I forget.
Maybe I don't remember, but I know he takes a hammer to the head.
Oh, God, yeah. That was so... His world title run was so forgettable. If not for the fact that it's like, I've been waiting for years, like, holy crap, Chris Sabin is world champion. Then it's like, and it's over.
It's like never even started, dude. It can't be over like if it never started.
It was like that old South Park thing where it's like, oh, Chris Sabin is world champion, and it's gone. Like, what do you mean it's gone? It's gone. It's out of here. We got to push Bully Ray again. Anyway.
You know who he is?
Unfortunately, he asks that on this show, and it's like, I guess?
Yes, I'm not like, bragging.
And it's like, yeah, you're the dude who wore the stupid glasses, had the stutter, and wore the Confederate flag bandana. Almost started a riot in Dayton. Yeah, Dayton!
Confederate flag bandana with his black tag team partner, by the way.
Yeah, right. Well, his name was Bubba Ray, so... I like how he said, when he started off wrestling, he said, my two worst fears in wrestling was I didn't want to have my head shaved, and I didn't want to be called Bubba. And it's like, okay, the first one I get, but that second one is awfully specific. Like, who was like,
behold.
Well, it's like, who the hell is like, you know, it would be horrible if somebody called me Bubba. Like, why would you think somebody's just going to call? Well, it happened.
Got that Bubba look, bro.
Yeah, it's like, you know who you look like? A Bubba. Oh, man. Anyway, I got one more story here, and it's funny you mentioned something like this. It involves a Twitter rant from everybody's favorite allegedly roided out guy, Mr. Scotty Steiner. You know, your hookup. Holler if you hear him.
All I see is there's a 33% chance he's going to screw this up. Means he's got a 66% chance of not doing it. But then you divide that by two, and another 33.
You got a 44.4 and 6/8 chance of you know, screwing this whole thing up, and I'll make him bleed.
If this is the last story, by the way, you're not going to... It must not have been this year. Maybe I got it wrong.
Yeah. We'll I know Bron Breakker's already done a take on the math promo.
No, he didn't. Tommaso Ciampa did to him.
Oh, okay. What would be funny is if Bron Breakker just like somebody's talking to him about like one of his opponents and he just bursts out. He's like, he's fat. I would lose it. Anyway, after taking a few weeks off, Scott Steiner is back ripping on Hogan on the Hogans, both of them on his Twitter account.
All right, what do you mean two? Which was the other one?
Hulk and Brooke.
Okay.
His latest
one context. Context is king. You know that.
God dang it, pal. His latest rant, focusing on Brooke Hogan specifically, started like this, quote, after Brooke Hogan tweeted that she could make more money on her back than I did in my wrestling career. Okay, pause.
Oh, good Lord.
Why would she say that? Like, that's kind of insulting yourself, isn't it? It's like, I could make more money being a prostitute.
Not if you're proud of it, I guess.
Yeah, and it's like, who's proud? It's like, well, I could be a very successful prostitute. Like, good for you? Thumbs up. I bet your mom's proud.
Well, she's one to talk.
Yeah, well, I'm sure mommy is proud, but anyway.
Is she like some 18-year-old guy at some point?
Yeah, basically. That was a joke on the David Hasselhoff roast that Hulk Hogan was on. Somebody, like, cupped their ear, and they were like, hey, Hulk, do you hear that? It's the sound of an 18-year-old's balls hitting your wife's chin.
Oh, my God.
Getting back to this, though, quote, which I accepted and I will get into later, a high-ranking official from TNA who I respect called me, and without going into the whole conversation, he asked me to stop tweeting, and since I'm trying to save TNA from the same fate as WCW, and this official also has TNA's best interest in mind, I agreed until, and he's doing this like, you ever see somebody when they don't want to, they hate somebody so bad, they treat their name like it's a swear word, and they blank it out? Like, I don't know.
Maybe it's specifics.
Well, like this one, he put Bischoff, but he blanked it out. He put B-HOFF. So it's like
maybe
he's swearing.
Trying to say like, maybe meant like Bischoff, which people called him.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah. It's like, why is he censoring himself? Like, okay. But anyway.
Well, that's kind of apropos. He should do it more.
Yeah, right. They said, until Bischoff opened his mouth, spewing his bullshit as usual. So, end quote, by the way. So, what is he mad that Bischoff told the truth and said, yeah, Scotty's old and bitter and full of crap?
You don't need Bischoff to tell people that. You can just listen to him.
Yeah, right. He's a nutcase, man. I heard he's a nice guy at times, but I also heard he's a freaking nut. And I know that one's, you know, seems so far-fetched. How did, you know, I don't believe it. But anyway, that's it for the news and notes.
It's not indicative of Michigan University, by the way.
Yeah, no, he's just a nut. They're full of crap. So there's the difference. We're going to take our second break here. When we come back on the other side, we're diving into Slammiversary 10 right after this.
Follow the Main Event Marks at facebook.com/MainEventMarksPod, on Twitter at @MainEvent_Marks, and on Instagram at @MainEvent_Marks and at @MainEventCollector.
This message is brought to you by Belly Up Sports. No, just kidding. This is not an NWO promo. This is just me, Kyle Sullivan, a.k.a. Shaggy Von Doom, the host of Here in Puckburg on the Belly Up Sports Podcast Network. I have a hockey podcast where we talk about hockey fandom and the love of the game, and where that leads you in this game we call life. Why am I on Main Event Marks telling you about this? Well, what if I told you I had one half of the world's greatest tag team, otherwise known as the Main Event Marks, the one and only Greg, Superfly Greg. He was on, and he was talking about his love of the game. So you might want to come over and check that episode out. And if you like what you hear, you can check out the rest of our incredible episodes with our incredible hockey community from PHF, athletes, ESPN personalities, fathers of NHL players, and a whole lot more. Come by, follow the show, give a like, give a subscribe, and it'd be great to have you here in Puckburg. But enough about me. Let's get back to what you're really here for, the Main Event Marks, because
they are the cream of the crop. Oh, yeah.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
If you're looking for your next new truck, trust Rush Truck Centers, the nation's largest commercial vehicle dealer network. Rush Truck Centers has trucks in stock throughout the country, including heavy, medium, and light-duty work vehicles. Plus, they offer a wide range of programs that help coordinate, monitor, and expedite vehicle service and repairs throughout their qualified service facilities. Check out their online inventory today at rushtruckcenters.com. That's rushtruckcenters.com. Expect more from Rush Truck Centers. Please speak to your Rush Truck Centers representative for further details.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Main Event Marks are available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube. Find all of our links on our link tree at linktr.ee/Main Event Marks.
Beer skinning, beer drinking.
We're back. Getting into the show, finally, it's TNA Slammiversary 10. It was on June 10th, 2012. The tagline, 10 years of total nonstop action wrestling. The venue was College Park Center in Arlington, Texas, and the attendance was 5,500 people. The pay-per-view buy rate was a dismal 15,000 buys. I have a feeling more than 15,000 people watched this thing. But, you know, this was when streamers were a big thing.
Yeah, you're right. They've died now.
Oh, well, of course. Yeah, I mean, well, hey, man, Dana White fulfilled his mission and he killed them all, okay? It's fine.
Oh, man, I'll never forget that.
Yeah. Well,
we're coming after you.
Yeah, right. After every pay-per-view. Good Lord.
Anyway. It's funny because it's almost like a Tony Khan thing. Like, he's bigger in his head than he thinks.
Like, yeah, right.
If we sold 1 million. We could have sold 10 million if there were no streamers. Like, yeah, dude.
Sure.
But yeah, then you look at like a Canelo fight against like 3 million. I'm like, what's your excuse there, dude? Are you telling me that 100 million would watch that fight?
Yeah. People care about boxing, clearly.
Well, they care about him. That's it.
But we start the show off with Hulk Hogan coming to the ring, blowing the roof off the joint. He says that tonight is a celebration of 10 years of TNA Impact Wrestling. He then says that he decided that tonight's very first match will be Austin Aries defending the X Division title against Samoa Joe. And, you know,
did you ever realize he had a huge heart on for Austin Aries?
I didn't notice it until now, but yeah. It's funny, by the way, that it's like, this is your probably second biggest show of the year. And you're like, you know what we're going to do with one of our only titles? Do an impromptu match.
Yeah, I mean, why not? It's added bonus, as Bruce Prichard said.
Yeah, right. Well, that's why you got to tune in.
Did you ever hear that argument about they were doing King of the Ring 93 and like Hogan was leaving? And they decided he's going to go over to Germany and he's going to do the European tour. And Conrad's like, well, the show's already sold out. And then Bruce Prichard was like adamant. It was added bonus. And he goes, what the hell are you advertising for if you've already sold out? The tickets are all gone. And he was adamant about added bonus. Now I'm like, if he would have just said something like, hey, for the future, buy your tickets in advance because you never know what could be added, I would have bought that. That's fair. That's right. Very fair. But no, he kept saying it was added bonus.
Yeah, WWE actually did that for a while because you remember a couple of titles switched hands there for a little while on house shows.
Yeah,
so
right.
It's like,
I think AJ Styles, his last U.S. title, he won on a house show, if I remember correctly.
Yep, Madison Square Garden, I believe.
Yeah. Okay, so, that doesn't, because garden shows are usually big.
Yeah, right. But still. But yeah, this match is Austin Aries defending the X Division title against Samoa Joe in 11 minutes, 44 seconds. I think these two are physically incapable of having a bad match. In the end, Aries hits a running dropkick in the corner, followed by a brainbuster to win. Uncle Dave gave it 3¾ of a star. I gave it 3½ stars. What say you?
I went 4. Love this.
Hard to argue. This was a really damn good match. Wasn't advertised, and it started the show off hot. Kind of reminded me of the, I mean, obviously Joe isn't a cruiserweight or anything, but kind of reminded me of how WCW started their pay-per-views hot with a cruiserweight match.
Or trying to be bad.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, when I think blowing the roof off the place, I think Johnny be bad. Anyway, I'm going to move on here.
And his bad blaster.
Oh, yeah, the bad blaster, the frisbees, the, you know, God, he just, you know, jizzing all over the crowd with that bad blaster, looked, man. Yeah, right.
I mean, you joke, man. It was over.
He fell into the, box of gimmicks and pulled everything out.
No, he fell into it and just came out with it all stuck to him.
Yeah, right. But after the match, Joe and Aries fist bump. We then get a promo about how great Texas is.
All right, so we're starting out with lies, too. You
know, yeah, right. hey.
Texas is not that bad. I'm just kidding. Anyone's listening.
Yeah, I did hear it's hotter than all hell down there most of the time. But,
you know what? You know what? We did not experience that, dude. I mean, maybe it was like a weird time or something. I mean, yeah, it was hot, but not like, oh my God, I'm going to die hot if I don't jump into a pool or something. It was not that hot. It was really weird. I was preparing myself for like to boil.
It was April, right?
Late March, early April, yes.
Yep. Okay, so yeah, it's probably getting ready to hit.
Yeah, I have no doubt. But like I said, it was not that hot, oddly. I was shocked. I feel like I lied to myself. And I didn't have any pants, like jeans. I just put shorts. No joke. And I had a video, I'm not trying to plug anything, but I had a video on Instagram of it pouring down rain at night. I was like, I didn't pack any jeans, man. I'm going to be screwed. Hey, it was okay during the day, though. But just...
Yeah. Yeah, wearing shoes. I still wear shorts when it's raining, as long as it's hot. Because sometimes...
I'm from California. It's all I wear.
Right. But up next, we get this match. It is Kid Cash versus Hernandez in just under 6 minutes.
Sorry.
I'm really confused as to why this match is happening. Pre-show video packages would come in handy.
We did not even write this down together. I put, why is this happening?
Right. This is where pre-match, you know, breakdown packages would have been, you know, cool. But all in all, I said this one wasn't bad. Hernandez ends up throwing Cash off the top rope and hitting a splash for the win. Uncle Dave and I both gave it 2.5 stars for average. What say you?
I gave it 2. I could have did without it. And I feel like I say this every time we do a TNA pay-per-view. This could have been on Impact.
And you always say, well, it probably was.
Yeah, okay. You got me.
Yeah, this one, I'm just like, why? Like I had pointed out, this is their second biggest show of the year. But then again, I'm about to say that again for this next match coming up. So I better, you know, hold it in. We then get a highlight package for the X Division between matches. Or I actually think in retrospect, because I fast-forwarded through it, I think it was one of those, like, countdown to the greatest moments in TNA history or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
But up next, we get Robbie E and Robbie T versus D-Von and Garrett Bischoff in just under 6 minutes.
Scraping the bottom of the barrel for this one, folks.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. I guess a story is that Madison Rayne has a, quote, secret crush on someone. In the match, she comes out onto the stage in a red cocktail dress. In the end,
looking all the way live.
You ain't kidding. In the end, freaking Josh Matthews, man. But in the end,
women, he's good looking, so I don't think that was that weird.
Sure, I'll take their word for it. Yeah, women also say the Machine Gun Kelly's good looking, and I'm like, sure. I mean, if you look like, you know, if you like guys who look like they fell asleep at a party and got drawn on by Sharpies.
That's just for fun. That's not even accidental.
Yeah, right. But in the end, D-Von hits the one-armed spinebuster on Robbie E, pins him, and wins. Uncle Dave gave this a 1.75 stars. I gave it an even 2 stars. It was below average. What say you?
1 star.
One. Yeah.
My only note is, thank God they kept it short. Thank you.
Well, you know what I'm happy about, man, is they brought back Garrett Bischoff to Impact recently. Hell yeah.
As Aces and Eights, by the way. Him and...
That's Briscoe.
Yeah. I was like, no, those are the two, man. Now D-Von's with them again.
Oh, yeah. D-Lo Brown.
D'Lo, not D'Lo. I'm sorry, D'Lo Brown. Yeah, they're about to light it back up, man.
Hell freaking yeah, man. Are they still using the ball peen hammer?
D'Lo used it backstage, or he had it. I don't know if he used it.
Man, I don't know. By the way,
This is basically like when the NWO, I feel like mixes every show, when they split up and like, oh, here's the NWO now. It's Vincent, Stevie Ray, Horace, and Brian Adams. Like, that's your NWO.
Oh, yeah, that's
you the brought back those. You brought back these three to be the Aces and Eights. Okay.
Yep. Well, that's always like these indie shows would be like, oh, we got Bullet Club representation, and it's freaking Cliff Compton.
Yeah. Right. Like, they did that at BTW. Not even joking.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, or Chase. It wasn't
Cliff Compton, but they sold Bullet Club. And it being one of the lower tier guys from the firing squad, but it's just the same.
Yeah, right. I can't think of you. I think you remember his name more than I do. Chase something or other was in the Bullet Club.
Steven?
Yes. No, not Chase.
Who returned, by the way, to Slammiversary a couple weeks ago in the Useless Battle Royal. That Shark Boy won.
Wow.
What we're talking about?
Oh, good lord. Shark Boy, by the way, he looks like he's been kicking a few back and, you know, kicking back that clam juice.
He's been drinking a lot of the clam juice and eating the oysters and all that stuff.
Kicking that bass. Oh my gosh.
Hang on a second though. Hang on. I want to know now because now I'm curious. You said he was in Aces and Eights?
No, Chase Owens. He was in Bullet Club. I just had to look it up.
The hell's he?
You'd have to look. He joined in October of 2015, and every once in a while he would pop up on like indie shows, and they're like, "The Bullet Club is here," and I'm like, "Yeah, Chase Owens. Like, who cares?" Yikes! And Ray Bucanero is here. Like, cool.
One of our mutual friends said they were at a show one year somewhere for WrestleMania, and I guess Vincent came out to the NWO Wolfpack theme, and everyone was like, no, dude, just no.
Like, yeah. So if you come out to the NWO theme, whatever, but good lord. Moving on, though. After the match, we go backstage with Jeremy Borash. He welcomes... See, I wrote The Bad Influence, but I don't think they had a name at this point. I think they were just Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian.
TNA, they were never Bad Influence. They were the Bad Influence of.
Yeah, that's what sure. I actually wrote The Bad Influence of Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian. But what came first? Was it they were the Bad Influence and then they were the Addiction? Or was it the other way around?
It was the other way around.
Okay, they were the Addiction first?
I think so.
Yeah, they called themselves something else in Ring of Honor, and I don't even remember. Like, good lord, you guys can't even keep a damn name. And then they became SCU, and that one stuck.
SCU, and screw that group.
But I have that Christopher Daniels t-shirt he's wearing here, by the way. It's like the back of it says, I'm no saint.
Yeah.
But Kazarian talks about some of his highlights in TNA and says that he's going to add to that list tonight. Daniels hands Borash an Appletini, which I totally forgot he used to do. And he toasts to telling the truth about AJ Styles and Dixie Carter. For those that don't know, this will lead to the historically horrible Claire Lynch storyline, Shoot Me Now. Although, according to people like Bruce Pritchard, he claims that storyline caught the eye of WWE saying, oh, well, he can act and he can do storyline stuff. He's not just a good wrestler. It's like, really? That?
AJ?
Yeah. Bruce Pritchard maintains the Claire Lynch storyline caught the eye of WWE, and they were like, oh, well, he can do acting, and he's good in storylines, too. He's not just a good wrestler. And it's like, what? Like, he'd done storyline stuff in the past. Like,
maybe I explained SummerSlam 18 with Samoa Joe. Huh?
Yeah, right. He made me laugh my ass off when he was with Christian, man. Like, although at the same time, like, you had to somehow explain how he went from, like, a normal dude to all of a sudden now he's a dumb hick. like what happened? I can't remember what show it was, but so like he was teaming with Tomko, I think, and Tomko wasn't there or something, and Borash is interviewing him in the back. He's like, what are you going to do, AJ? And he's like, I don't know, crap my pants. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, that came out of nowhere. But either way, up next, we get Mr. Anderson versus Rob Van Dam versus...
I just lost some respect for you. Okay, whatever, move on.
Versus Rob Van Dam versus Jeff Hardy. It is a triple threat match where the winner becomes the number one contender for the TNA world title. It goes about 11 and a half minutes.
Before you start, I'm just going to say one of my biggest pet peeves always has been a number one contender match on pay-per-view. That is a TV thing to get to pay-per-view to me, but maybe it's just me.
Well, I could forgive it for this one because they have a world title match in the main event. So they're setting up, they're like, oh, who's going to be main eventing the next show or whatever. Or sometimes they would set up for a TV main event. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that was always a Bischoff thing. Like, oh, you know, every once in a while hit him with a big main event on TV that we've been building up. Kind of smart at times, but, in the end of this one, RVD goes for the Rolling Thunder, but Mr. Anderson popped up and hit a mic check for the pinfall win. Uncle Dave and I both gave this 3 stars. I thought it was pretty good. How about you?
Same.
It wasn't the greatest thing I've ever seen, but it was pretty damn good. Sometimes these guys had great matches. Sometimes they flopped, so it was cool. There is this match. It was Mr. Anderson and Rob Van Dam. I want to say it was an episode of Impact. Have you ever seen that? It made Botchamania, where Anderson kept messing up, and you could hear him audibly like swearing like really loudly every time he'd mess up.
Yep, I think I remember because you sent it to me.
Yeah, I'm like, holy god, dude! But that was hilarious. So either way, we now go backstage where Jeremy Borash is standing by with Crimson. I forgot Crimson was a heel. A heel. JB asks,
little brother of Amazing Red, don't forget.
Yeah, the quote-unquote little brother. But JB asks if Crimson knows who has accepted his open challenge, and Crimson says it doesn't matter. He's undefeated, and he thinks he'll be undefeated forever. Crimson now comes to the...
About that.
Yeah. Every time something like this happens, you know they're going to lose. But Crimson comes to the ring...
Yeah, you know what? And... Quick, that's exactly what I felt about Zack Sabre Jr. last night.
Yeah.
I love this dude, but he ain't winning this match.
No. They ended up having a really good... I thought Cesaro was going to toast him after that neutralizer, and I was like, oh, thank God.
I was pissed, man.
I know.
I was ready to lose my crap. Like, are you serious? They just buried that fool in 10 seconds?
I know. I was getting pissed. Okay. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And he kicked out. I'm like, thank God.
Yeah. I literally jumped out of my seat, and I'm like, oh, my God, no. This guy's probably the best wrestler in this entire building right now.
Yeah.
I'm like, no.
I really hope he gets that match with Danielson. That's the one I really want to see.
Tanahashi and Punk, dude. Come on. They're all coming.
Oh, hell yeah. But Crimson comes to the ring and grabs a mic. He says that the crowd is all losers, and he came here for a fight. He then puts down the Mavericks, the Rangers, and the Cowboys before calling out whoever will accept his challenge.
I love this whole thing right here. I don't know why. Something about it just touched my soul.
Yeah, right. I can't figure out why. But who should accept his challenge but Cowboy James Storm? He takes on Crimson in just over 2 minutes.
Now, I want to point out, by the way, we literally just talked about this. What we didn't want to happen to Zack Sabre Jr. Yep. Happened here. And I feel like they were making a huge thing. And then they just say, screw it.
Yeah, it's like, why did you build him up for all these months as an unstoppable monster, and then this? But
he was ready to be something, but then I thought Matt Morgan was too, so I guess I should stop thinking that.
Well, you're not. Why are you going to push Crimson, man? Look at his hair. How can you take him seriously?
He's all white too. He doesn't have a tan.
Yeah, right. Hey, how can you push him? He doesn't even have a soul.
Wow, anyway. I didn't
think
that one.
He's a redhead. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. Anyway.
Out to South Park. Okay, move on.
Yeah, right. Well, Storm is actually wearing his America's Most Wanted duster to the ring, and he wears it through the first half of this match, too. It doesn't take long.
So, 60 seconds?
Yeah, right. Yeah, basically. He finally takes it off. It doesn't take long before Storm hits an inverted atomic drop, the last call super kick, and hands Crimson his first defeat. Uncle Dave and I both gave this 1. What say you?
I almost didn't want to rate it. But I just
not even the fact that it was so short. I mean, that sucked too, but damn, you want to talk about it. People throw this word around a lot, and I hate it, but seriously, they buried Crimson. Like, deep underground. I think he
insulted Dixie's mom in her face or something.
Yeah,
I don't get it. I vividly remember him being a huge thing.
Yeah, he was doing the what ended up, and it's funny because he had this, Baron Corbin did the same move too. He was doing almost what Baron Corbin ended up doing in NXT for a while. Like, they would just have him come out, look intimidating, hit a couple moves, hit his finisher, and boom, he wins.
Ironically, you and I were at the match where that ended.
Corbin?
Yeah.
Oh, crap,
which one was Joe?
I vaguely remember that. That was a while ago. Damn.
That's the first ever NXT outside of Full Sail.
Oh,
he was got that bragging.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, we have to review that, by the way. I'll have to throw it on the docket moving going forward, because we did review SummerSlam from that year already, which we were at, by the way. So we'll have to review that TakeOver Brooklyn 1. But either way, they actually let this one simmer for a bit as James Storm has a beer bash while the crowd goes crazy. I would have forgiven this if they were going to push James Storm to the moon, but they didn't. Like, what was the point of this?
They did nothing with him, and they killed what they were building up with Crimson.
Yeah. So
you got to give him credit for killing two birds with one stone, dude. You got to.
Hey, man. Hey.
You should tell it.
Hey, look, I'm screwing this dog. You just hold the head. that's a Cornette-ism. But either way, man, this just blows my freaking mind.
I like how this is the shortest thing on the show. We spent so much time on it.
I know.
I mean, to be fair, it is baffling. There's...
Yep. But then we go backstage for this. It's Jeremy Borash and Austin Aries. JB asks, what's next for our Aries? And says that Aries says he's the greatest wrestler ever and is the most dominant champion in TNA. He says he'll do whatever it takes to be the main event or a main eventer moving forward in TNA.
Yep, hold on.
Give it another
the corner.
Yeah, less than a year, 6 months. Yeah, because it's the very next Destination X, isn't it?
Yeah. When is that?
April? No, May? Nah, maybe. Actually, I think it's more like March, if I'm remembering correctly.
Destination X was usually in March, but I feel like this is the next month.
Yeah, well, you might be right. I freaking don't remember.
Yeah, it is. It's July 8th, 2012, yeah.
Wow.
That's right around the corner. This is supposed to be me and you met.
Yeah, which puts more credence to your Hulk Hogan had a hard-on for Austin Aries theory.
I mean, I'm not knocking him for it. It's not like you picked a piece of crap. I mean, apparently he's a terrible human to people. I don't know. I'm not going to judge that. I've never dealt with him, so that's not my place. But as far as winning in the ring, can you pick a better guy?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's good to, hit your horse to a good wagon there, and Aries was it. We now get a highlight package of the press conference where Hulk Hogan's TNA signing was announced, and now...
Yeah, you see what they were trying to do with that. Like, do you really think this is our Disney World in 1994? Did you think this even held a candle to that? Shut the hell up.
Like, they did have a decent amount of press there, but it's like, seriously, nobody knew what TNA was. So it was
to sound like a damn mark about it, but I'm almost guaranteeing you the press in 1984 was legit press.
Yeah. Yeah. This was like, oh, let's hand a couple people some cameras and some mics and, you know, whatever. Yeah, this was not making the evening news. But either way, Dixie Carter now comes to the ring and says that this is the largest crowd for TNA in the United States. Which is kind of sad.
It wouldn't have been so sad if it was like 5 years ago. But you're 10 years in? Yeah. That's a problem.
Yeah, and it's 5,500 people. Like, dude, like, you're barely outdrawing WCW in 2000. But she thanks everyone for being there and everyone at home that's watching, even the ones on stream. But She then thinks everyone who's been ever wrestled for TNA, and then calls all the talent onto the stage. Dixie then announces that Sting is going to be inducted into the TNA Hall of Fame right before we go to a highlight package of Sting's time in TNA. Sting then comes to the ring, and Dixie thanks him for stepping up for TNA and always being there for them. Sting takes a mic and says that he's not prepared for this, but he then thanks Dixie, the crowd, and the roster, and he wraps it up by saying, tonight, it will be showtime.
They always did this with the wrestlers. This so-and-so is going in the Hall of Fame, and they're still an active wrestler. This makes all sense to me.
Right. I had to laugh. You know, I don't know if you ever heard the Bruce Pritchard podcast where he was talking about their quote-unquote Hall of Fame and how he said, well, you know, they were going to get like a Rolex watch and whatever, or a nice watch. And he said, all I could think of was, crap. What was Mr. T's name in the Rocky movie?
Clubber Lang.
Yeah, Clubber Lang. He was like, because Conrad was like, what was it like working with Dixie trying to get this done? He was like, like Clubber Lang said, pain. Because he said she would be sitting on eBay trying to find a used watch that she could buy. And he's like, holy crap, just buy him a new one. Like, that's pathetic. Yeah. You and
kind
I
of an insight to TNA spending right there, huh?
Yeah, you and I always used to joke that they just went out in the park and got like a Simpsons watch or something like that.
That might have been better because at least it was new.
Yeah, right. But up next is this. It's
a retired cop, by the way. They probably have a watch they don't want.
Yeah, right. But Gail Kim defends the TNA Women's Knockouts title against Miss Tessmacher in 6 minutes 44 seconds.
Roll Tide.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. But in the merciful end of this one, Gail Kim gets cocky, lifts Tessmacher up for a back suplex, but Tessmacher reverses it into a roll-up pin for the win. Uncle Dave gave it a star and a quarter. I gave it one. It blew chunks. What say you?
Yeah, gave it one. And it's like, look, Brooke Tessmacher has no business wrestling.
No.
I'll stand by that.
And Gail Kim could not carry her in this one. That was a hefty load.
Almost.
Wow. But after the match, Christy Hemme asks Miss Tessmacher how it feels to win the title in her home state of Texas. Miss Tessmacher says that it's surreal and says, God bless Texas. Sure. We now go backstage with Jeremy Borash yet again. He gets cut off by Bully Ray asking if JB knows who he is and where he's from. You know, as you do.
Ray Dudleyville.
Yeah. Oh, my God. He tells Chris Park that he's going to tear him apart and destroy him. He then reminds Joseph Park. Chris Park is his real name. My bad.
Joseph, his real name. What the hell are you talking about?
Oh, yeah. My bad. That's
it. Can you get yourself together, please? You're ruining this whole show.
I forgot. Abyss is on his birth certificate. Yeah. he tells Joseph Park that he's going to tear him apart and destroy him. He then reminds everyone that Park signed a contract that allows Bully Ray to do whatever he wants to him with no legal repercussions. After the interview, what are you thinking, Bubba? But after the interview, we go to a video package reminding us that Joseph Park has been looking for his brother Abyss. I forgot that. You remember how he used to like put his hand up like he's like, you know, taller than him. He's like, you know, my brother, Abyss.
Yeah.
Like, so stupid. But Bully Ray then admitted to leaving Abyss for dead. And then he goaded Joseph Park into a no disqualification match. And that's where we are here.
Bully Ray. Here we go.
It's Bully Ray versus Joseph Park. No disqualification. It goes about 10 and a half minutes. You heard me right. There's a ton of stalling, and then Joseph Park pretending that he can't wrestle or fight. Well, Bully Ray paintbrushes him.
Oh, pretending, you say?
Good Lord, okay. Shut up. Just shut up.
God. You said it.
I know where you're going. But then finally, they finally get into a bit of a fight and then introduce some weapons. Eventually, Joseph Park
I wonder who's going to get hit with the weapons.
Yeah, right.
Let's find out.
Eventually, Joseph Park crawls under the ring, and then Abyss comes out on the other side. I wonder why.
Okay. I'm going to stop you right there and be honest. I kind of like that. I thought it was fun.
What I liked about it was the fact that he got dressed so quickly.
No, he had undressed so quickly.
Oh, well, yeah, there's that. Well, he had to put on ass. I'm not
trying to be funny. It is a lot easier to take off something than to throw it on. So,
well, he had to throw on that mask, the wig, and that giant, like, hobo hoodie that he had. So there's that.
That's pretty quickly, but he was under there
for a long
time. Wait, what are we talking about? Why are we acting like he dressed up? They're two different people, dude.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. I'm just being silly.
Oh, shut the hell up.
Anyway, Bully Ray turns around and Abyss chokeslams him through a table that he set up. Abyss then crawls back under the ring. Joseph Park comes out the other side, pins Bully Ray, and wins. It was... look, some of this was fun. I'm not going to lie. Uncle Dave gave it a star and a half. I gave it 2. So it was below average, but it was fun. What say you?
I gave it 2. Normally, I would give a piece of crap like this 1, but I thought the thing going underneath the ring coming out of the Abyss was kind of funny. One of the few people that loves this Ezekiel Alliance crap. It's hilarious. I'm just kidding. No one's making it work, but...
Yeah, right.
I thought it was fun. I'm gonna quote you real quick. This is one of the few matches where this guy did not trip over his own dick.
That is true. Well, not personally. But I did like the thing about the Elias and Ezekiel stuff. I like the fact that it's like it's getting Ezekiel more, or I mean Elias, whatever. God, it's getting the dude more over.
Not only that, but like.
It's like blue for it.
Yeah, the crowd's blowing for it, and I mean Kevin Owens is making it great.
He's freaking hilarious in it.
First of all, anything he does, I'm already watching.
Yeah, good, bad, whatever. It's gold.
And it's like, man, I love it. It's so stupid. But the one thing I give him a lot of credit for is because I'm trying to hide it, like they were here at the Abyss and Park. Like Kevin Owens, I was at the Raw WrestleMania. He goes, wait, what the? You're Elias. They didn't try to pretend we're stupid. You know, this is some new guy. He flat out said it. You have to give credit for that. You know, they're not trying to play. We're stupid. So you can't discredit that.
And the fake beard looks really good. Like, you can barely tell.
It does. I can't say I'm impressed with that because of where we are nowadays in movies and stuff. I mean, come on, dude.
Getting back to this, though, after the match, backstage, we have Jeremy Borash standing by with world champion Bobby Roode. Roode says that tonight shouldn't be a celebration.
Oh, man, that sounds so great.
I know, right?
Say that again.
World champion Bobby Roode says that tonight shouldn't be a celebration of TNA. It should be a celebration of him being the longest reigning world champion in TNA history. He then says that...
Man,
he doesn't
give a... he pound that into the ground, man.
Hell yeah, he did. He then says that he doesn't give a crap about Sting going into the Hall of Fame. Join the crowd. tonight is his night. We now go back into the arena where Hulk Hogan comes back out onto the stage. He says that tonight's all about surprises, right before bringing out Christian Cage. By the way,
explain the backstory on that?
If anybody hasn't paid attention, so the thing is, the reason he's here, even though he's in WWE CW right now, is Ric Flair was allowed to appear at the WWE Hall of Fame ceremony when the Horsemen went in earlier this year. So they told TNA, well, you can use one of our talents for something. And so
this story. This is one from Bruce Pritchard.
Bruce Pritchard said, Dixie went, oh, I want Christian. And he's like, you know, they said anybody. She's like, yeah, I want Christian. And he's like, you know, they're probably not going to give him to you, but you could say The Undertaker, John Cena, you know, but no, Christian. And she's like, yeah, I mean, the people know him and I'm friends with him, whatever. And he's
because they don't know John Cena. You're right.
Yeah, right. It's like, good Lord, I don't even know what to say there. And you know me, I'm a big Christian mark, but good.
I love Lord. Christian,
yeah. I think he probably would have said they were stupid for doing this.
I just love that. Like, she's so damn loyal to that man. You have to give credit for that, but
yeah,
damn.
The thing that I thought was funniest about all of this, by the way, was the fact that he comes back for one night only to come out here. He's not even wrestling. He's coming out to, well, I'll get to it here in a minute. But he's only out there for like less than 5 minutes. And they gave him a new remix of his theme song.
Yeah.
Like,
I hated that song.
Why? Yeah, I was like, what the hell? And now he's got a third remix of it in AEW because he's using the same damn song. Which, I mean, I love that song. I mean, I didn't mind, but I was just like, whatever. Either way. By the way, am I the only one that's finds it kind of funny that Tony Khan decided to go with a remix of his TNA theme and not like some ripoff of his WWE theme?
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm kind of glad that he did that because it would have been too obvious to go with the WWE ripoff. But
I love how, by the way, in three separate companies now, he's turned on somebody. That's forever going to be that man's legacy.
Yep. The turncoat. He's the Loki of wrestling.
But yep. He's right there with Big Show, man. I'm telling you, as far as turns go. Like, Big Show is probably number one. He's got like 100 of them, but Chris is pushing 90 at least.
Yeah. I did think his promo was like, really? Like, you're better than that, Christian, where he's like, oh, Jungle Boy, I know you look at me as a father figure, but I'm not a father figure to you. You had a father, and he's dead. Like,
that wasn't even a wrestling thing. I didn't like it.
Yeah, I was like,
his mom was right there. You could have said anything to her, which he does afterward on, it's on Twitter. Well, I'd actually showed it on Dynamite, but like, you could say anything to her right there. You got to mention the deceased parent. That was a bit much.
Yeah, well, and plus the fact that it's like, Christian is probably one of the best mic guys in the business, and
yeah, that's what he's cheap.
Yeah, so he drops to that. Like, whatever, man. This made me laugh. Christian is in the ring, and he claims that the number one question he was asked this week is if he was going to be at Slammiversary.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, because that, you know, all them people clearly cared about it. Only 15,000 ordered the damn thing.
Combined 20,000 watched the show.
Yeah, right. that's sad. He points out to the last time he was there.
Podcast, I guess that's something.
Yeah, right. He points out that the last time he was there, they were in a six-sided ring. He puts over the company and the fans before presenting the number one moment in TNA history, which turns out to be Sting's return to TNA in January of 2006.
A Christian just happens to be involved with.
Yeah. Yeah, this was... They seriously brought Christian out for this. Like, what the hell? I go, whatever. This is so, so dumb.
That's so
good. Either way. Yeah, right. What a waste. We now get Christopher Daniels and Kazarian defending the TNA World Tag Team titles against Kurt Angle and AJ Styles in about 14 and a half minutes. AJ jumpstarts this one.
What a team, huh?
Yeah. I forgot these two were a tag team, by the way. AJ jumpstarts this one, rushing the ring. In the end, AJ hits a springboard shooting Styles press to Daniels outside of the ring. Meanwhile, Angle locks in a grapevined ankle lock on Kazarian in the ring for the submission victory. Uncle Dave gave this 4.25 stars. I gave it 3.5. What say you?
I, too, gave it 4. That was amazing.
It was a damn good match. I mean, I think these four are physically incapable of having bad matches when they're in the ring together. So,
probably giving them 4 stars as a layup, too. But
yeah. Well, you and I had talked about, for some reason, 2007 was not Daniel's year. Like, looking back at his pay-per-view run, it was like, like, what happened, man? Like, you know, his matches with Aries and Sting were just kind of like, meh, it's okay. But in 2012, he'd got his groove back, so... We now get a great play-up package for the main event with various people from the roster talking about how awesome Sting and Bobby Roode are. And that will bring us to our second-to-last break. When we come back, we're going to get into the main event and finish out the show right after this.
Follow the Main Event Marks at facebook.com/MainEventMarksPod, on Twitter at MainEvent_Marks, and on Instagram at MainEvent_Marks and at MainEventCollector.
Hey gang, it's Commissioner Cooper of TSS Fantasy. We are the fantasy show of the people. Expert fantasy advice, free contests, leading expert medical and legal analysis, and most importantly, you. Interact with us on all social media platforms or check us out at tssfantasy.com. You can hear us on Spotify, Apple and Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and many more. Check out the fun today and be a part of the most interactive fantasy show around, TSS Fantasy, the fantasy show of the people.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Why choose Loyola University Chicago's accelerated BSN program? If you've already earned a non-nursing bachelor's degree, it helps you earn a Bachelor of Science in Nursing degree in just 16 months. But that's not all. The Loyola University Chicago ABSN program gives you the nursing skills, the clinical experience, the Jesuit Catholic education, and the name recognition to stand out with employers. Choose from two program formats, online or face-to-face. Search Loyola University Chicago ABSN to learn more.
Marks are available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube. Find all of our links on our link tree at linktr.ee/main event marks.
And we're back. Bobby Roode defending the TNA World Heavyweight title against Sting in about 11 minutes. Sting ends up getting Bobby Roode to tap out to the Scorpion Deathlock on the commentary table, but that doesn't count. Once back in the ring, the ref is just... Once they're back in the ring, the ref is distracted as Bobby Roode smashes one of James Storm's beer bottles that he happened to leave behind over Sting's head. He then
I want to take you back in my thought here. When I was watching this live, I thought that we were about to see Beer Money reunite because of that.
Yeah, that would make sense. It's like, why did he just leave a six pack behind? That's not like James Storm to forget beer,
right?
Unless he's like Ron Swanson, where he's from Parks and Rec, where he stashes meat all over his office. Maybe Storm just has beer stashed all over the arena.
No, that's Sarah Logan.
Wait, does she? What?
Oh, she has like, I don't know if anyone's ever saw the specials on the Peacock with her, but yeah, she'll carry a bag of meat around all the time and stuff. I'm like, I can only imagine she hides meat everywhere.
It's kind of gross. Like, what the hell?
She's like a Southern girl. We probably use meat.
I know, but a bag of meat, ugh.
Yeah, chicken, hot dogs, and bros.
He's like, I have accrued 4 weeks of vacation. I'm going to take them all. Make sure there's a sizable portion of ground chuck in my desk. Make sure to throw it out or it will start to stink. Anyway.
If you're in Vegas, it'll cook itself. You're good.
But either way, he smashes a beer bottle over Sting's head. And then he pins the now bleeding Sting because, you know, hashtag Sting's got to bleed. He pins him for the win. In such an anticlimactic finish. I feel like I said that about a lot of Bobby Roode finishes during his title run. Uncle Dave only gave this 2 stars. I give it 2.5. It was average. What say you?
I give it 2. It's like, how is this not better?
I know.
I feel like there's no excuse for this.
Yeah, it was just blah. I don't know. Roode was better than this, damn it. But Sting ends up standing up behind Bobby Roode and taking both him and the referee out. Sting walks Roode onto the ramp and suplexes him on it before running him face first into the steel truss on the side of the stage. Sting finishes the attack with a Scorpion Death Drop off the stage onto a platform. This brings us the show to a close and takes us to our final break. On the other end of this, we're going to hit the final ratings and tell you what's coming up in the month of July. Here on the podcast, right after this.
Follow the Main Event Marks at facebook.com/MainEventMarksPod, on Twitter at @MainEvent_Marks, and on Instagram at @MainEvent_Marks and at @MainEventCollector.
Hello, everyone. My name is Ryan McCarthy, and I'm the host of the No Credentials Required podcast. Start your work week with the Monday Drop-In, where I talk about the sports beat in the Capital District, also known as the Mighty 518, as well as Metro New York sports from an upstate point of view. I also give a life lesson from a weekly sports story, so you might learn something from that. I also have a midweek podcast where I interview different sports personalities and talk about a wide array of topics. Take a listen and subscribe on your preferred podcast app, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Spreaker, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and iHeartRadio. Also, check out our social media channels on Twitter and Instagram, BellyUpNCR, and Facebook.com/BellyUpSportsNCR. We're a part of the Belly Up Sports Podcast Network in association with Godzilla Media. No credentials required, where you don't need a press pass to talk sports.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Why choose Loyola University Chicago's accelerated BSN program? If you've already earned a non-nursing bachelor's degree, it helps you earn a Bachelor of Science in Nursing degree in just 16 months. But that's not all. The Loyola University Chicago ABSN program gives you the nursing skills, the clinical experience, the Jesuit Catholic education, and the name recognition to stand out with employers. Choose from two program formats, online or face-to-face. Search Loyola University Chicago ABSN to learn more.
Sorry about your damn luck.
The Main Event Marks are available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube. Find all of our links on our link tree at linktr.ee/Main Event Marks.
Beer skinning, beer drinking.
And we're back.
We're back.
Final ratings time. Internet Movie Database gave it 7 out of 10. CageMatch.net gave it 8 out of 10. I, too, gave it 8 out of 10 for a B. What say you?
Solid C+.
It was fun, I thought. It wasn't one of the greatest shows ever. They tried.
Probably worse.
Oh, yeah. I'll say this. Hot damn, they tried. That's the best I can say about it. I don't know. But either way, that was Slammiversary 2012. It's 10-year, TNA's 10-year anniversary and the 10-year anniversary of that show airing. So now we're going to dive headfirst into July, meaning, well, we're going to switch it up a little bit. Next week, man, July 6th will be our first show of July. Happy birthday, America. We're bringing you crap. It's ECW Heatwave. It's ECW Heatwave 1997. It happened 25 years ago. I haven't watched it. Have you? You've seen it so far, right?
I don't remember if I've seen it. I haven't done any of our July shows, full disclosure. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I haven't watched it yet. So I don't know. It's look, it's ECW 97, so chances are it sucked. I'll take that action. But, well, looking it up now, because I forget. It happened at the Philly Arena, so there you go. Oh, Jerry Lawler.
I had no clue where it was. I don't have my last guess.
Yeah. Well, the main event was Jerry Lawler, Rob Van Dam, and Sabu versus Rick Rude, Sandman, and Tommy Dreamer in a cage match.
How can you go bad with that, huh?
That could be fun, maybe. This could not be fun. Holy crap. They gave this match almost 20 minutes. It's the Gangstas versus the Dudley Boys.
Stop.
Also.
Oh, man. The moment you said 20 minutes in Gangstas, I was already out of it.
Yeah. And it also takes place in a steel cage. So at least this one will, you know, be in the ring and it's not going all over the arena. But
just so I know, are you trying to convince you or me?
I don't know. It's like, I don't know if that's better or worse. New Jack can't get out of the ring. In, you know, do stupid crap. I don't know.
That's almost Jerry, like saying, I don't know if it's good or bad. Ric Flair couldn't show his ass on TNT or TNN.
Good Lord. Well, Terry Funk defends the world title in the middle of the card against Shane Douglas. Taz defends the TV title against Lance Storm. That one could be fun.
That could be the match of the night.
Yeah. And there are a couple other decent looking ones on here. So I don't know. I know you're going to be hella into the first match, man. First match on the card is Mikey Whipwreck and Spike Dudley versus PG-13 with Jason.
Oh, good Lord. They are fresh off their Nation of Domination run here, too.
Hell yeah, man. That's it's going to be awesome. I don't know. But yeah, anyway, that's coming up next week.
I want to slap you so hard right now. Y'all care if you're being sarcastic.
Well, hey, I can't remember what it was I booked last year around Christmas time that was a kind of a crapper, and you were like, happy birthday, Jesus. Here's crap. So this one's happy birthday, America.
America, Jesus, we do it to everybody.
Yeah, that's nothing personal.
Hey, we're equal to everyone, okay? We're equal. Well, that would be crap.
Yeah. But July 13th, we're coming finally. We haven't done it in a while. I didn't pay attention to the schedule too much, so I'm making up for it. We're finally coming back to WWE here in the year 2007. It's a Great American Bash for the 15-year anniversary. And I'm looking forward to watching this one just because Dusty Rhodes takes on Randy Orton in a Texas Bull Rope match that it didn't last long, but from what I remember, it was pretty fun.
This match should not have lasted long, trust me.
Yeah. Umaga and Jeff Hardy was fun, if I remember correctly. But hey, man, we get a something on a pole match, so I'm all in.
And I believe this is his farewell match, too. I could be wrong on that, but it's pretty close.
Yeah. Well, and Carter.
The news may reflect that, by the way. So we'll see.
Chavo Guerrero defends the cruiserweight title in a cruiserweight open that involves Hornswoggle. So there's
and
that.
Yes, this is the end of the cruiserweight title. This is a pretty historic show.
Yeah. Right. MVP and Matt Hardy do battle for the U.S. title, and the main event is John Cena versus Bobby Lashley for the WWE title. That should be good. However, is basically
Lashley's farewell for a long time.
Wow. There's another one. And this one, I wish it was this guy's farewell. It's the Great Khali defending the World Heavyweight title against Batista and Kane in a holy crap, why is this happening match?
There's a reason for that, which you'll probably get to in the news, I believe.
Yeah, well, like I said on the bonus show, Greg, I used something to this variation. We have our Lord is a vengeful God, and apparently we angered him, so we get this match. God, but anyway, that comes up on...
Everybody gets a chance, right?
Yeah, right. But that comes up on July 13th. Double main event week, I'm looking forward to, because we are hitting you first on July 20th with Bash at the Beach 1997 for its 20-year anniversary.
I remember that being a fun show.
Yeah, I mean, the card looks pretty good. Lex Luger and the Giant versus Hollywood Hogan and Dennis Rodman with Randy Savage in their corner as a main event. We also got Roddy Piper and Ric Flair after Ric Flair walked out on Piper at Bash of the Beach. Great American Bash, that was it. Yeah, well, I also pointed out that Ric Flair is a complete idiot for walking out in the middle of a freaking world title match. We get Scott.
Why he's an idiot?
Say what?
Okay. So that's why he's an idiot? Okay, that's nice to know.
Good Lord. We get a match of three former AWA guys in this match, by the way. It's Scott Hall and Randy Savage taking on DDP and Kurt Hennig in a tag match. Jeff Jarrett defends the U.S. title against Mongo. I'm sure that one just tore the roof off the place. we get the conclusion, the merciful conclusion of the Chris Benoit Taskmaster Kevin Sullivan storyline is it's a retirement match.
That's gonna stick.
Yeah.
Actually, I think it does pretty much stick till they dig up the Varsity Club next year or 2 years later for a minute.
Yeah.
But I
right.
think for the most part, it does stick.
Well, they were saying around this time, like, and I think Bischoff admitted it, that he was trying to get Sullivan the hell out of the ring. So this was it. Unfortunately, we opened the freaking card with Mortis and Wrath versus Glacier and Ernest Miller. So, yay.
Not quite the cat yet, right?
Yeah, no, not yet. But we do have three fun matches in a row. Chris Jericho defends the Cruiserweight title against Ultimo Dragon. Steiner Brothers versus the Great Muta and Masa, my hero, Chono.
You got it!
Yeah, and I beat you to it that time. And then we get Juventud Guerrera, Hector Garza, and the Lismark Jr. versus La Parca, Psicosis, and Viano 4.
That's got God, car crash it. Written all over it. It actually might be fun, though.
God dang it, pal. Just throw all the Mexicans in the match together.
It's a staple, man.
Yep. But that is coming up the first of two shows that week. We are also covering for the July bonus show that week, WCW Nitro from July 6th, 1998, the very next year. That is
significance of that.
That is the night that Bill Goldberg wins the WCW title in the main event against Hollywood Hogan. Big, big, big match. Big time there.
Arguably the biggest in Bischoff's run, I believe.
Yeah, faux show. So that's a big one. I remember that being as a kid, that was like, you know, freaking Goldberg was. It was always, I mean, I still think there was no competition with Stone Cold, but, you know, WCW fans are always, oh, Goldberg's the hottest, and WWF fans were like, no, it's Stone Cold.
Well, so, it's the closest thing they ever came to having, to matching them. Can't deny that.
Yeah, for sure. Crowd freaking blew for him.
No, everything was piped in.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, right. Yeah, because, you know, you could see mouths moving, but no, that was all pumped in.
You ever heard of Millie Vanilli? Huh?
Oh, good Lord. Yeah. But we're wrapping the month up on July 27th with TNA Victory Road 2007, continuing on our tour of 2007 in TNA. In our opinion, their best year.
This pay-per-view was not one of their better ones, if I remember correctly, but not bad.
I don't remember off the top of my head. The main event was a tag team match for All Gold. On one side of the ring, you had Kurt Angle and Samoa Joe. Kurt was the world champion. Joe was the X Division champion. And they took on the Team 3D, who were the tag champions. The winners get all the belts.
Championships, pal.
Yeah, this sucked. It was a weird... I just thought it was so weird what happened with all this.
I think when you do something like that, it denigrates the title, but...
Yeah, well, one guy has every belt. Like, cool. Well,
I mean, this isn't boxing.
Yeah, right. Oh, man. We do have an Ultimate X Gauntlet match to determine the number one contender for the TNA X Division Championship to open the show. It's Christopher Daniels, Jay Lethal, Puma, Homicide, Sanjay Dutt, Petey Williams, Sharkboy, Elix Skipper, Kaz, and Senshi.
A lot of talents and Sharkboy in there, so that could be a fun one.
Good Lord. Yeah, it'd be fun. For some reason, they're keeping on with the Voodookin Mafia versus Basham and Damaja. Yay. So we get a third one of those. Technically second, I guess, because the first one, BG, didn't make it.
How we're chronicling that whole feud. That kind of makes me wonder what we're doing with our life here.
Yeah, it's like, did we lie? It was their best year. It's making me wonder. James Storm continues his feud with Rhino. We finally get the first appearance of, they have a name now, the first pay-per-view appearance of the Motor City Machine Guns, taking on Jerry Lynn and Bob Backlund.
I like that.
Yeah, that was
bad. I believe in the promo in this, I don't want to spoil anything, but this is when Alex Shelley makes mention that Jerry Lynn looks like Chad Kroeger from Nickelback.
Oh, Lord.
I guess also, like Jesus ran its course. You gotta change it to something else.
You look like if Jesus was born in Sweden.
And got a really sweet tan, by the way.
Yeah, right.
And shrank about 7 inches. Close enough, you know?
We've also got a mixed tag team match. I'm sure this one's a barn burner. It's Eric Young and Gail Kim versus Robert Roode and Miz Brooks.
Ugh. Yeah.
This one should be fun. It's Christian Cage versus Chris Harris. And then
who in the hell is Chris Harris? Yes, they said that live on TV and buried the hell out of the poor dude.
Poor guy.
I believe it's going to be in the build-up package. If I remember correctly, it's in the build-up package. You'll catch it.
That's like Sting saying he hated it when Booker T showed up in WWE and The Rock looks at him and goes, who the hell are you? Yeah. He says, just buried him right there and then and there. He's like, that's why I never wanted to go in.
And of course, there was the most famous one. Do you remember that?
Wait, which one?
Shawn Michaels and what was that guy? Mike Knox. That's the most famous one. Do you remember that?
Oh.
Survivor Series 2006?
Oh yeah,
he kicks over who was that guy? He goes over to the Hardys and Triple H. Who was that? Oh, he's Mike Knox. And he's like, oh, was he in the match? He's like, yeah, he's in the match. Oh, okay, so we're good. Yeah, we're good. Okay, cool.
Yep. Those two big burials. The other one is also involved DX. It was the one where they threw the Spirit Squad in the box and said like to Louisville. Oh, put a sticker that said like return to Louisville or something like that on it.
Yep. Or I know. I think it just said OVW. I'm pretty sure it did.
You might be right, but yeah. Either way, I was like, my gosh.
Hey, one of those guys would rebound really nicely. Okay, so it's okay.
Yeah. You're talking about
one of those guys, right? We already mentioned. Yeah, like clearly. And one of those guys you already mentioned, he did come back and, well, killed himself off. But whatever.
Yeah. Wah, wah, wah. But they also have on this show, Sting and Abyss versus AJ Styles and Tomko. So that could be fun or it could suck. I don't know.
Okay, first of all, Tomko and AJ Styles are an underrated tag team. I'm not even joking.
Oh, for sure.
I can't remember for the life of me why Sting and Abyss are friends now, and they just had the most atrocious match ever. Now in the archives, now as a watch along on YouTube, go do it. Why are they a team now?
They had a series of atrocious matches. Yeah, they had a series of atrocious matches, so this was just like...
Yeah, but they had the match that got the Fire Russo chance, so one's got to take the cake, but like, I got to go back and research why they're together.
That's like, I think it's because he broke Abyss away from James Mitchell, so I think that was the whole thing, that he was trying to get him away from James Mitchell and realize, oh, you're not a bad guy, you just do bad things. I don't freaking know. So, LOL TNA. But
what a culture shock, by the way, man. Sting's a Christian guy, and the other guy's a legit Satan worshiper.
Yeah, that great.
I'm not talking about Abyss, by the way.
Yeah. I was like, hey, James, stand over there.
You're kind of on fire right now. No, I'm not. Yeah, you are. You just don't see it, but you are. Anyways, get away from me.
Good Lord. But either way, yeah, that wraps up.
Damn. Anyways.
Yeah, wow. I didn't even catch that. But either way, that wraps up July. It's been a fun June. Some good shows, some not so good shows. Go check out the bonus show from last Friday, by the way, BT Dubs. The show itself that we covered, not so great. The podcast, I thought was pretty good. So, not that I'm biased or anything. But no, go check.
We suck, that's what I'll say. But the thing is, we've never sucked, so what can I say about it?
Exactly, right. So, either way, go check that out. Thank you for joining me today, Greg.
Yep.
We'll see you next week for, God help us, ECW Heatwave 97.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.